Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Habeas Claims and Silent Adjudication Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 3, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Johnson v. Williams. The question in this case concerns federal habeas review, which requires federal deference to a state court's adjudication on the merits. At issue is whether a habeas petitioner's constitutional claim was in fact decided on the merits, when the state court did not appear to address the issue in its otherwise lengthy decision. To discuss the case, we have Catherine Burnett, who is a Senior Assistant Attorney General with the Office of the Attorney General of Virginia. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Burnett.
In Cavazos v. Williams, which was argued in the Supreme Court on October the 3rd, cert was granted to California in a habeas corpus case to resolve an issue arising under 28 U.S.C. 2254d. That statute requires a federal habeas court to give deference to the decision of a state court on any federal constitutional claim that was actually adjudicated on the merits by the state court. If the claim has not been adjudicated on the merits, then the federal court may be able to use a de novo standard of review of that claim. So the question in this case was whether the California Supreme Court had adjudicated on the merits the prisoner's claim that the trial court erred in removing a juror for bias from a deadlocked deliberating jury on a charge of felony murder and robbery. What the Ninth Circuit concluded in the habeas case was that the claim had not been adjudicated on the merits because the California Supreme Court did not specifically address the prisoner's Sixth Amendment argument on the claim in its written opinion, but rather had only addressed a state law issue, which was whether the trial court had abused its discretion under a state statute. The Ninth Circuit concluded that the California court simply must have overlooked the Sixth Amendment part of the claim. So the Ninth Circuit concluded that they could address this claim as a de novo matter without any deference to the state court on its merits. They proceeded to find a Sixth Amendment violation, and they vacated the conviction. Now, in this case, the parties both agree that the Sixth Amendment part of the claim was properly presented to the state court. They also agree that the California Supreme Court denied the prisoner's claim in a written opinion, and they also agree that the California court did not expressly acknowledge the Sixth Amendment part of the claim. Now, in 2011, the Supreme Court decided the case of Harrington versus Richter, and in that case, they said that a federal court has to presume that the state court did adjudicate the claim on its merits if the claim that was presented was where the state court simply summarily dismissed the claim without any opinion. So the question here for the parties was whether this standard under Harrington versus Richter applies where a state court wrote an opinion but simply didn't address one part of the argument made by the prisoner. Now, California, in its brief, had argued that the adjudicated on the merits deference standard should apply primarily because state courts are considered to be co-equal courts along with the federal courts who have a duty to enforce federal constitutional rules, and therefore a principle of irregularity means that state courts would not have ruled against a constitutional claim. The state also argued in its brief that the statute 2254D simply does not address how state courts are supposed to write opinions, so there's no requirement of how they're supposed to address claims. They also argued that an earlier case by the name of Early versus Packer had held that state courts don't have to cite federal law. They don't even have to know what the federal law is when they decide an issue, so long as their ultimate decision is not contrary to the Constitution. California also argued that the prisoner in this case had never argued this point below, and in fact had agreed in the Ninth Circuit that the deference standard should apply, a sort of a waiver argument. And finally, the state of California also argued in its brief, but very briefly, that the state law in this case was actually intertwined with the federal law, and therefore the state court actually did address this claim on its merits. Now, the prisoner Williams in this case argued in her brief that the claim had not been adjudicated on the merits, and so a de novo standard of review should apply. And what she argued was that the Harrington versus Richter standard is one that's only for summary opinions, not for opinions like this, where there's actually a written opinion, but part of the claim was not addressed. Williams argued that the lower federal courts were pretty much in agreement that when you have this situation, that the issue has to be looked at on a case-by-case basis, and that what the courts do is decide whether it's most likely or more likely than not that the state court actually addressed the federal claim. And finally, the prisoner argued in this case that it's fairly easy for a state court to simply say whether it addressed a claim or not. Now, in oral argument that was held on October 3rd, the state argued for a bright-line rule. The state's attorney argued that a federal court should presume the claim has been adjudicated on its merits unless they specifically said they did not address it on its merits. However, Justice Kennedy, right off the bat, interrupted counsel and asked her why she was asking for such a broad rule in this case, because in his opinion, the Sixth Amendment issue in this case on the claim was so intertwined with the state law, and that the state court actually addressed cases that discussed the Sixth Amendment, that it was fairly clear from this opinion that the state court actually had adjudicated the claim on its merits. Now, what's interesting is that at least six justices seemed to fairly strongly agree with what Justice Kennedy said. Justices Ginsburg, Alito, Sotomayor, Kagan, and even Breyer seemed to agree that the state court's decision really did address the Sixth Amendment. And in fact, there seemed to be some consensus from several of the justices that they did not like the broad rule that the state was asking for. They didn't like a presumption because they felt that it was essentially not irrebuttable. And Justices Kagan and Sotomayor made that clear in their questions. It's equally clear from the questioning that it's likely that Justices Scalia and the Chief Justice probably do agree with the bright line, because they expressed an opinion during the oral argument that they think the case-by-case analysis that the prisoner wants would just lead to more litigation. Justice Thomas did not ask any questions, but from his history in these types of cases, he probably would side with Justices Scalia and the Chief Justice on that. Several of the justices, the reason why they didn't like this presumption was because they expressed an opinion that they thought it would be easy for the state court to simply say whether or not they had addressed a claim. And in fact, Justice Kennedy said that he thought it would be easy to buy a $28 stamp for all the state court judges, where they could just stamp the opinion that says, we've looked at all the constitutional issues that were raised. Finally, the actual merits of the case, which involved the dismissal of this juror, at least three justices expressed an opinion on the merits of the underlying claim, that they found that the dismissal of this juror was what they called troubling. However, that was an issue that specifically was in the cert petition, and cert was not granted on it. So it's unlikely, I think, that the court is going to reach that underlying issue. If I had to predict here, I would say that probably from the oral argument that the state is going to win this case, but they may not get the bright line presumption that they're asking for. I think it's very likely that the court in this case will simply say that that particular issue is something they'll have to reach in another case at another time, because they don't need to here, because they're going to find most likely that the state court actually addressed the underlying Sixth Amendment claim, and so the court actually adjudicated that claim on its merits. And so that is the likely outcome, I believe, of this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.